story of Mert and Marv. Mert's disappearance and the murder of Harry Duffy, the Chicago gangster who took her to Duke Sandfield's swank gambling establishment, have gotten her into a most difficult situation. She's been warned not to talk about her detention at Sandfield's place under the threat of death. And now the police, the newspapers, and everyone else are trying to find out what happened to her. Then, just before we left them, Mert and Marge received a hurried visit from Jimmy Minter. Jimmy was very frightened. He demanded money from Mert and Marge to make an immediate getaway. Although he didn't tell why he was so apprehensive, the girls fear that he was mixed up in the Duffy murder. In a moment, we'll find out the latest developments when we listen to today's episode in the thrilling story of Mert and Marge. It's the same evening. Jack Arnold is just entering the stage door. He speaks to Pat, the old doorman.
Oh, good evening, Patrick Murphy.
Well, good evening, Mr. Arnold.
Have Miss Spear and Miss Minter come in yet?
No, they generally get in early, Mr. Arnold, but they ain't here yet.
I just stopped by their apartment building, but they just left there.
Oh.
Say, Pat, has anyone been here looking for them or call them on the backstage phone since you got here tonight?
No, nobody, Mr. Arnold. And the phone ain't hung since I got here.
Uh-huh. Well, Pat, if anyone does call or phone, don't tell Miss Spear or Miss Minter, but call me. I'm going to stay around the theater tonight. You'll probably find me in Mr. Hunt's office or out front in Mr. Hayfield's office.
Very well, Mr. Arnold. I'll be remembering.
Thank you,
right.
Pat.
Oh, good evening, Miss Myrtle and Miss Marcy. Here they are now, Mr. Arnold.
Well, thank you, Pat.
Hello, Jack.
Hello, girls. I stopped around at your place about a half an hour ago, but you'd left.
Oh, Jack, come on downstairs, will you?
All right, but tell me, where'd you girls go from your apartment?
Oh, we walked up to Broadway to a little hat shop that we knew was open.
Oh, Myrtle, you ought to know better than that. I told you and Margie not to walk on the streets alone.
Oh, we weren't alone, Jack. Your good sleuth, Mr. Thomas Walters, was with us every inch of the way. He's parked outside the stage door right now. Come on in the dressing room. None of the girls are here yet.
Well, all right. I want to talk to both of you.
You didn't tell me how you liked it, Mr. Arnold.
Like what, Margie?
My new hat.
Huh?
Myrtle just bought it for me for a present.
Oh, my. It's beautiful. And very becoming to you, Margie.
Well, thank you, Mr. Arnold.
Have you girls had any word from Jimmy yet?
No, Jack. Not since he dashed into the apartment like a wild animal and demanded $100.
I only had $20.
Well, I had 50. We gave it to him after he frightened the daylights out of us. He wouldn't tell us why he wanted the money, but said if we didn't give it to him, he'd kill himself.
What?
When I handed it to him, he bolted out the door and down the stairs and didn't even wait for the elevator.
He acted as if he were desperate, Mr. Arnold. What do you suppose he's done now?
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out, Margie. Mm.
Jack, do you suppose he is mixed up in the killing of Harry Duffy?
I can't tell you, Myrtle, but he must have had some kind of a warning about something from somebody he's afraid of.
Jack, why was Duke Sandfield so anxious to find him?
Well, he didn't find him. Sandfield let you go, Myrtle, before he'd found Jimmy. Mm-hmm. And, you see, Duffy was murdered after he had dropped you off the theater, which establishes an alibi for you. But here's something. The night Duffy was killed, my man said Jimmy went out of my apartment about 6 o'clock.
But he came back again that night, you said.
Yes. He seemed very surprised when I told him Duffy was murdered. His surprise was genuine. Jimmy's such a fool and so transparent that I know he didn't kill Duffy, but I also feel sure that he is in some way responsible for it.
Jack, the Houston outfit had Jimmy on the spot and almost got him once. He's been around town here for a couple of weeks. They must know about it. Now, why didn't they go after him again?
I think we'll know why in a few days, Myrtle.
And it was Jimmy who introduced that Harry Duffy to us.
You know what I told you, Jack, about Jimmy trying to get in with the Duffys, and
mm-hmm.
Harry Duffy telling me that he didn't think Jimmy could be trusted very far and that he had no brains.
Well, I'm thoroughly convinced that he has no brains.
You know what I think, Jack?
What?
It's a plain case of Jimmy double-crossing both parties. Jimmy's like a squirrel chasing his tail.
Mr. Arnold, I'll bet Jimmy wanted that money from us to get away to hide someplace from both the Duffys and the Houstons.
I've decided that there's nothing dumb about either of you girls. You both hit the same nail on the head.
Then you know what it's all about.
Well, I think it's a game of hide-and-seek, Myrtle. I'm sure Jimmy's in hiding, all right, and until he's found, this Duffy murder is going to remain a mystery.
Well, are you going to do anything about it, Jack?
Well, of course. We're working on it every minute, but you see, it's all undercover.
Well, if you think Jimmy had nothing to do with Duffy's murder, why try to find him?
Well, somebody will find him, Margie, and I'd rather be the one to do it. Somebody's coming.
Oh, you're in here, Jack. Pat said you were downstairs, but I expected to find you in the lounging room, not in the Chick Chick's dressing room.
Oh, am I breaking rules, Ray?
Well, Miss Spear knows that you are, but breaking rules seems to have become a hobby with her.
Oh, well, I'm the one to blame, Ray. I had something important to say to the girls.
You might have chosen the right place to say it, Arnold. And I'm informing Miss Spear and Miss Minter that unless they choose to make their jobs in this show of more importance to them than their affairs with racketeers, there'll be some changes made very shortly.
Oh, leave Margie out of this, please, Mr. Hunt. She had absolutely nothing to do with this whole affair.
The killing of a racketeer isn't news, but when a girl from Hayfield's is mixed up in it, it's the kind of scandal Mr. Hayfield won't tolerate.
Well, Ray, you know very well Myrtle had nothing to do with that.
And I can and do read the headlines, Jack. She disappeared with this Duffy fellow. He was murdered, and she's made no explanation as to her whereabouts from the time she left until she returned.
She's explained to me, Ray, and I'm handling the matter.
Arnold, I suppose Hayfield likes to have the girls in this show mixed up in such affairs.
I think Mr. Hayfield and his publicity manager, Fred Hansen, have taken care of Miss Spears' disappearance.
You don't suppose for one minute the public is swallowing that yarn that Fred Hansen handed the papers, do you?
They might, temporarily, until everything's cleared up.
Miss Spear seems to have the faculty of jumping from the frying pan into the fire.
Mr. Hunt, don't forget that I jumped from one fire back into the pan.
I still warn you to keep your underworld affairs out of the theater. And Arnold, you stay out of the dressing room.
What? Oh, isn't he a beast?
Now, don't antagonize him, Myrtle.
Mr. Arnold, why is he so bitter toward Myrtle when he loved her once?
Oh, you wouldn't understand, Margie. But it's because he can't have his cake and eat it.
Well, might be. I'm going upstairs, girl, and have a talk with Ray. Hmm? I'll stay in the theater during the show. Perhaps I'll go out front and see Mr. Hayfield, but I'll meet you on the stage after the show.
Okay. Mr. Arnold, do you suppose Mr. Hunt meant what he said about the changes? Do you think he is liable to fire
up? Oh, I wouldn't worry about that, Margie. Does it worry you, Myrtle?
Oh, I'm in such a mess now that one more worry wouldn't matter very much.
Well, if he fired Myrtle, I'd quit the show right with her.
Well, I'll see you later, girls. Maybe we can have a bite together after the show, huh?
All right, Jack. Supper's on us in my apartment. I'll fix something special. A Welsh rarebit. How's that?
Oh, sounds good, Myrtle. I'll see you later.
Okay.
Oh, gosh, Myrtle, aren't things in an awful mess? What if Mr. Hunt does give us our 2 weeks' notice?
Look, kid, if he did, we'd be working at the Roxy the next day.
May I come in without offering free time, seeing as how you Tillys haven't started to peel off your street clothes?
Yeah, come on in, Clarence.
Well, Marge, a new hat. And I'll have to admit it's super. It's the reddest red I ever saw. Gorgeous. Simply gorgeous.
Oh, yes, it's a present for Myrtle.
You'll stop traffic with that lid, Marge.
What's all the noise about? Sounds like dinner time at the zoo.
I'm telling you, Marge, I myself couldn't design anything more devastating. Just look at that chapeau.
Yeah, lovely. You look at it. It hurts my eyes. That Spear picked out that thing for you, Marge.
Yes, she did, Billy, and I think it's beautiful. I love red.
Billy, you ought to dress in mourning.
Yeah, her soul is dead.
Well, I've been told I look good in black.
Mm-hmm. That's the color of your heart, dearie.
Hey, look here, Tipping Top.
Now,
I'll
don't
break
do
your...
anything rash, Miss Billy DeVere. You shouldn't get so excited at your age.
Clarence, someday I'll demolish you.
What big words, Miss DeVere. I'll bet you even went to school once.
Say, are you trying to show somebody how smart you are?
Oh, it's all in fun, Billy.
Well, anyway, I still think your hat is beautiful, Marge. I'm overwhelmed, simply overwhelmed.
It cost $11, Clarence.
That Spear's lucky number, 11.
Nice warm weather they have in Hades, DeVere. What have you got there in your hand, Clarence? In that box?
Oh, I almost forgot. This is for you, Mert. Oh? I was coming down here, and Pat asked me to give it to you. Looks like flowers to me. What a pity. It'd be so much nicer to get a mink coat.
Oh, thanks, Clarence. Oh, look. Aren't they beautiful?
Myrtle, they're orchids.
Uh-huh.
Did Stalin send them or the Duke?
Just a minute, and I'll tell you. Oh, they're not from Stalin, Billy, so they must be from the Duke.
Catch me believing that.
Oh, tell us who they're really from, Myrtle. You got a note, too.
Must be bad news.
Just orchids? Oh, look in the box again, Mert. There might be a diamond bracelet in there. One never knows, you know.
Yeah, look again, Mert. Might be a booby trap.
Oh, read the note, Myrtle. I'm so curious.
Oh, I can't, Margie. It's a love letter.
Where are you going, Myrtle?
I'll be back in a minute, dear. I'm going to Mr. Hunt's office.
Come in.
May I see you a minute, Jack?
Oh, yes, Myrtle. I'll be right with you. Well, Ray, I'd think that one over if I were you. You aren't always right, you know.
We'll talk it over later. Miss Spear seems to have another important matter to talk over with you.
Yes, it's very important.
All right, Myrtle, where shall we go?
Over here where no one can hear us, Jack.
Now, what is it?
I just got this box. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful orchid. And this note pinned to them.
Huh? What does it say?
Well, you read it, Jack.
Dear Miss Spear, it may relieve your mind if I tell you that we know you were in no way connected with the murder of Harry Duffy. We know who killed him and why. Your admirer, D. Sandfield.
Suave Duke Sandfield seems to be fated to stay in Myrtle's life. Although the note he sent her appears to be reassuring, it is certainly cryptic. Who really killed Harry Duffy? And even if he does know, will Sandfield come forward to help Myrtle in her present difficulties? There should be plenty happening when we listen to the next chapter in the fascinating story of Myrtle and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.